So reading from Canto 3, sorry, Chapter 3, Text 43. Title, chapter name is Karma Yoga. Should I just go through the verse? Or maybe not. Evam buddhev param buddhva samstadhyatmanamatmanam Jai Shatru Mahabaho Kama Rupam Durasadam. Translation. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Purport by its divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki! Jai Srila Prabhupada. This third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. In the immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculations and artificial attempts to control the senses by the so-called practice of yogic postures can never help a man towards spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. This is the last text of chapter 3. I don't feel very qualified to be sitting here and speaking in front of you all senior devotees, but I will humbly try and attempt to speak something about this verse and something that maybe you can take away with you after the class. The chapter name is Karma Yoga. Karma, the Sanskrit root word for karma is kri. Kri, which means to do, to work, or in other words, action. And the Sanskrit root word for yoga is yuj, which means to connect. So karma yoga is work and connection. So what are you connecting your work to? And we can all see by life and its experiences that we all have to work. Everyone is working either for someone or they're working for some reason. No matter which stage of life you're in, you're always impelled to work. Either it's for the person you love or the person that you don't love, or whether it's for your own self-prestige, or for getting some recognition in society. We're all pushed to work. We can see even with baby Nitai, he's also working, seeing new things, senses are working, everything is working. And in the previous verses, Arjuna asked Krishna, what is causing everyone to work? If I can just find it for you. there. I missed it. I'm not finding it. Even Lord Krishna says he has to work, even though he doesn't have any work. He doesn't have to do anything. But he says, if I don't work, then all men will follow. Everyone will follow his example, and then everything will be ruined. So even Krishna is working, but for different reason. He's working because he wants to set an example so that everyone knows that there must be activity, and it's even the nature of the jiva to be performing activity. No one can just not do anything. Even to maintain the body, one needs to work. So it's compulsory. Arjuna says, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? So what is this force? Krishna explains. The Supreme Personality of God has said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So now we know what makes us work, what is pushing everyone to work. We all agree that we have to work. It is not an option. Even if we try not to, we still have to. But then what is making that happen? And Krishna explains, it's just lust, Arjuna. And in the verse that we're going to talk about today, Krishna is talking about how to conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Now, what is lust? Lust is a perversion of love. So whether you're a non-devotee or you're a devotee, you're still working, but as a devotee, we're learning how to do work, or in other sense, devotional service, as a love, as an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas not being a devotee, we're doing work for our own sense gratification. Here it's written as lording it over material nature. We want to enjoy that, and so we work hard day and night to get that happiness. It is also mentioned here, we're talking about lust, that there's different stages of lust, and in the purport, in the verse, it's written 3 degrees of lust: one with the fire and smoke, one with the mirror and the dust, and one with the baby in the womb. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this as 3 different stages of lust that we fall into. And the stage with fire and smoke, that's like someone who's just joining Krishna consciousness, who is just tasting a little bit. So there's a lot of smoke, but you know there's only smoke because there's some fire. So you know there's something there. Then the dust that's covered by the mirror, these are like the jnanis, karmis, who are working hard and who just need more Krishna consciousness to get the dust off. And then there's the baby in the womb who is completely helpless. You can't do anything. And you can't really do anything from outside either. He's just there, he's helpless. And he's just, which we see a lot when we go out on Harinam, we see a lot of people that are still in the womb category. And there's one thing I wanted to share that I've seen on Harinam, is that you'll always see the little children are very excited when they hear Harinam, when they see devotees. They're always, you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their facial expressions, they're saying bye, they're not so covered and conditioned to their identity as someone, and so they're easily attracted by many things, but I like to think they're attracted because they're less covered, so the holy name is easier for them to relish. Whereas people who have already have a heavy conditioning, they like to cross the road when we come. I like to go on the other side of the road. Then when we talk about work, there's also a section of nature. There's different modes of nature, and there's different ways that these modes of nature have effect on our daily life, on our everything else. So there's the mode of tamoguna, the mode of rajaguna, and the mode of sattvaguna, and each guna has its own conditioning of work that impels us to work, as well as it has a heavy conditioning on our consciousness. So tamoguna is there, rajaguna is there, sattvaguna. And here it is mentioned that lust is born from the guna of rajaguna, passion. And what we as devotees are trying to live is a sattvic lifestyle. And so when we fall into the modes of nature, then we also fall into, the work falls into one's own nature. And that's when Varnashram comes in, is what nature is appealing to us. There's Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra. Then we have a certain behavior or character that we do our work in. And then there's our ashram, which ashram we fall into. And so there's a lot going on with the word work. And every day it gives us reaction, known as also karma. So you're working every day and you're creating reaction every day. And this same work, when connected to Krishna, is called devotional service. So you have work, you have different modes of nature, you have the different natures of people, and then you work without attachment. Right? Krishna says to work without attachment, otherwise work is binding you more and more. But then you take that a step further and you're offering that result of work to Krishna. So you're doing all of this to please Krishna, and then you take that a step further, which is what concludes the Bhagavad Gita. Whereas you're working according to what Krishna likes. There's no more your nature. There's no more what you like to do. There's no more what mode of tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna in. There's no more detachment. There's no more anything. There's just you are trying to do what pleases the Lord. And this brings us to the topic of relationship. Right? Everyone's doing something for a certain relationship. Everyone's doing some work for some certain relationship. Some people are working in mines, some people in rich CEOs of different companies, different factories, and whatever they're doing. All for some relationship. They want to feel needed, they want to feel loved. And it is completely natural, because the natural state of the jiva is to be sat, chit, and ananda, to be eternal, to be happy, to be sat, chit, ananda. So that's what we're doing as well. As devotees, we want happiness, but we want to take that a step further. When we start putting expectations, then we start getting frustrated. I've been chanting japa this many years. why I haven't gotten, you know, past Namabas, Wama is still offensive. We're still, and this brings me to the point Sachinandan Maharaj made during Kirtan Mela. He said, the magic of Kirtan is not the singer, it is not the tune, it is not even you. The magic is not you. It's not your chanting, and it's not the leader's chanting. But the chanting is, the magic is the holy name itself. It's Lord Krishna himself. So the magic of devotional service is the same. You cannot rely on achieving taste on your own efforts. It's not that I've done this for this many years, now I demand a result from the Lord. I demand pure happiness. I expect something, you know. This many years I've served, something. That is not love. That's not unconditional love, right? You're still putting conditions in your efforts. And Krishna is saying what? He's saying, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, you just give up everything and just surrender. And that's actually really very hard. I don't know if you've tried it. You can try it. We're trying every day to do that. But you have many fears. If I surrender, what will happen to my career? If I surrender, who will take care of me when I'm old? I'll be old devotee, and then I will need funds for my health. I'll need so many things. Or I'm young, I'm going to get married, I need to get a good job. So it is extremely, extremely hard to just fully surrender to Krishna and not fear. Because Krishna says, Mashuchaha, don't fear. He's like, I got you, don't fear. But it's extremely hard to get to that stage of surrender. And we have examples of that in the movement. It's not something that is unheard of or something we can't relate to. But maybe for many of us, it's still something we can't fully dive into. And that brings us back to devotional service, where we're performing our prescribed duties and we're offering the results to the Lord, and that we're trying to please Him, and we're making gradual steps. But ultimately, you have to let go of everything. And Krishna is most merciful when He takes everything from you. He's known as Hari, someone who takes everything away from you, all your family, all your possessions, everything. He strips you off everything. And then you're forced. You have no option. You're forced to surrender to Him. But that's just causeless mercy. And then you realize, Krishna, thank you so much. You don't realize at the moment what's going on. But you have to have faith that, yeah, Krishna's there at the end of it. And that's what makes it all worth it. That's what makes coming to Mangalarti every day, chanting your 16 rounds every day, going out on Harinam, knowing that Krishna's there at the end of it, you know. That makes everything worth it. Yes, devotee life is a happy life. You do have blissful festivals, kirtans, prasadam. But the mind is such a thing that it knows how to get conditioned to it, how to make it normal. And I'm saying this because I was born in the movement, so I was born already with so much going on. So the mind gets conditioned to, like, yeah, this is just normal. I'm not sure your experiences, but I've heard of other devotees, and Krishna gives them a little bit every time, you know, a little bit of prasadam. And, like, you know, I grew up with prasadam, so I don't know what it feels like to, like, taste prasadam for the first time. Everyone's like, you know. And then I got prasadam and I was just like, wow. And I was just like, good for you. I'm just I've been eating this every day. Or, you know, the first time they're like in an ecstatic kirtan, you know, they just like, they're crying, you know. And I'm just like, in a way, I'm very jealous and envious because I can see they're actually relishing the holy name, like Krishna's giving them glimpses to get attracted, to stay. But when you're kind of born through that, it's hard to find that. I mean, if you can just give it a normal example, like, I don't know, let's say you're born in a farm where you're farming corn, and the whole village is farming corn, and you grow up and everyone's farming corn. Are you going to love corn like someone who's buying somewhere in some supermarket? No. You're just going to be like, it's corn. It's nothing special. Obviously, I don't want to compare Krishna consciousness to corn, but I'm just trying to give an example what the mind is like. It's not that once you join Krishna consciousness, that's it. The mind is transformed and now it's your best friend and no more your worst enemy. But it's a constant step towards Krishna. And in a way, I find it a little harder for kids to been born in the movement because the grass always looks greener on the other side. You always want to experience something that you felt you got left out, you know, something everyone else has already done, but you have never tried. What if, just a little bit, I try a little bit. And that's how the mind works, just, that's that force. In this chapter is also known as a blazing fire. It's not letting us go, whether we're 10, 20, 60, 80. It's not letting you go. And in a way, it doesn't let you go because it's also love. Right? It's just a perversion. So, it's like a little tricky. But Maya's there as well. She's a great teacher, a great tester, and her service is just, if you can see it in that way, instead of like a big enemy, she's just testing. Are you ready? Like, do you really want Krishna, or are you just a Hare Krishna? Like, do you really want Krishna? So she's, the more advanced you get, the heavier the tests are. Just remember that. So, you know, it's like a soldier. You know, if you're just like a foot soldier, you know, send a few guys, they'll clean you up. But if you're a heavy sergeant, you're a commander, and you're just higher in the levels, then the force to bring you down gets heavier, right? But this is Maya's service. She's just always checking on devotees and making sure you're qualified to receive Krishna's mercy. And Krishna, on the other hand, is so merciful that he's also giving you a little bit. Just when you're going to finish a little bit. And we see that. The more you surrender to Krishna, the more natural your life becomes, the more mercy you receive. So something I would like to say is, it's very difficult, and for myself, I know it's very difficult, and for everyone it's difficult, because for millions and millions and millions of years, we're very, very conditioned to that, I have to make it. I have to do it. And in devotional service, we're also thinking, I need to go back to Godhead. This lifetime, I want. It's still, if you think about it in such ways, it's still I want. But we have to, what Krishna wants. And you can't fake it. You can't pretend it. You can't put a mask on it. It is through the daily process, and there's 9 processes. So it's through the daily process of devotional service of what? What do we chant to do? We're trying to cheto darpana marjana, trying to clean our heart. And cleaning our heart means cleaning that desire of trying to enjoy material enjoyment. Here also says, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Spiritual strength. And where do we get spiritual strength from? Is it from our own sadhana? A little bit. But we have experts. We have guru, sadhu, and shastra. These are our spiritual aids. And it sometimes hurts to take aid. Sometimes we feel we got this. It just happened one time, it won't happen again. I was just a little bit, we have, the mind is like that. And before you know it, you've gone somewhere you never thought you would go. And it's sometimes embarrassing and sometimes shy to take help. But Krishna is also so kind, he'll make the situation so bad that at the end you will have to take help. That's if you're lucky. Otherwise, he may just let you go till later you come back. And the good thing of Krishna consciousness is, we also read in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Neham bikrama nashasti pratyavayana vidyate swapamam api asya dharmasya trayate mahatava. That little, even just a little endeavor on this path gives you success, and there's no diminishing. So whatever devotional service you're performing today, try to do a lot every day, because whatever you're doing gets kept in like a safe, you can say, like your, you know, like your bank account. It's getting there and it's getting interest. And Krishna is so kind, he also says he keeps what you have and carries what you lack. So if that means whatever devotional service you have acquired, he's holding that. And if there's something lacking, he's going to help you take that, move you forward through that. So spiritual strength is available. And sometimes we feel like just by reading, it will work. Sometimes if I chant extra rounds, it will work. And sometimes it does. But many times it doesn't. I'm speaking from my experience because I'm 23. All of you might have already gone through so much of life that you've already gone through so many ups and downs and you kind of know your way. But I'm just trying to speak from my point of view. That's what it's like. Your ego, your false ego, you don't want it. You don't want someone else to know that you have issues, you know, and it looks bad. Oh my God. You're born in the movement and you have these kind of feelings. Haribol Prabhu, what's going on? Oh, you've studied in the Gurukul and you think like this? Haribol, what were you studying all these years? And so then people put you on a kind of platform of expectation of what you should be like. Oh, you're from Mayapur. Why would you think such a thing? That's not the point. We all have desires. We have anartas. And that's why we're all here. If I was that great, I wouldn't be here. So, we all need that spiritual strength and that guidance, whether we like to admit it to ourselves or not. And it's devotional service is our own path. You're flying your own airplane. But we're in a movement as well. So we're all marching the same way, but you gotta pick up your own flight. No one's gonna come and, yes, your parents are there, guru's there to give you guidance, everything is there, but until you pick it up yourself, you're not gonna go anywhere. Movement, move, your movement, movement, yeah. That's one thing I wanted to say. And then also it's mentioned here that the way lust is how do you say, the way it moves is through the senses. And so the next point brings us is controlling the senses. And in this chapter, Krishna says someone who's just controlling his senses, like you get the yogis that just will fast or sit up in some hill or some mountain, but who's still contemplating on sense object, he's a pretender. He's a pretender. So you don't want to pretend, because when you pretend, you don't get the final result. You'll be cheated also. You're pretending, your result will also be pretending. So what do we do with our senses? We engage them in Krishna's service. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, the genitals, everything, we want to engage in Krishna's service. Yeah. Krishna says, O mighty armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. We must know. And the next chapter is transcendental knowledge. So this chapter is karma yoga, all working. Everyone has to work. Everyone has to connect their work to something. And as devotees, we're just trying to connect that work to Krishna, offer the results to him, and eventually do what Krishna wants. And we know what Krishna wants from our guru, from the shastras, from the sadhus. And then the next verse gives us transcendental knowledge. I mean, sorry, the next chapter, also the next verse. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind. So that is the secret. But a secret is not enough. We have to apply it into our life. And only then does that give us some fruit. It's like if you know where there's a lot of gold, right? It's just there waiting for you. But you never take the steps to go there. Will you ever get the gold? No. So Krishna consciousness is like that. We hear every day something. We read something every day. But it's literally like our decision to apply that in our spiritual life or not. Otherwise, it's just something we hear. And we are hearing every day, so there's a chance for you to apply something in your own life every day. And then you'll get realization. You'll get the benefit. Otherwise, we just sit lecture after lecture after lecture after lecture, and we don't apply anything. Then it's just lecture after lecture. Yes, you are getting some benefit. You're getting some purification. And the process is having some effect on you, but really, if you want to experience it, it's all about application. And it's hard to apply because we are conditioned souls, and Krishna consciousness is very much different to what the rest of the world is doing, and very different to what we were doing for all our lifetimes in this material world. But we give it a shot. Srila Prabhupada said, at least give one lifetime to Krishna. So you just think about it like that. This is one lifetime, Krishna, it's yours. If it didn't work, okay, it didn't work. That's not up for you to decide. But you just think like, okay, this lifetime, Krishna, it's yours. And you just give it. Sometimes I like to think, when I see a lot of people having, I don't know, a lot of wealth, a lot of riches, a lot of enjoyment, I think, my last life I was like 10 times richer than that guy. I've already done it, you know? And you have, that's the thing. You've already been through so many yugas. What do you want to be? Whatever you want to be, you've already been that, you know? You've probably been even double of that. You've probably been already some you know, demigod ruling some planet, you know. You've already been it. If you think, oh, I had a good car, last life I had like thousands of those cars, you know. Because you have, in a bigger sense you have. And in a much bigger sense, you had much more than that. You had Krishna, right? You had Krishna. And now you're here with Adam. He's there. But just not connecting. We're not yoga. Our yoga is not very strong. And so from karma yoga, then we go to bhakti yoga. And that's when we're actually tasting and relishing devotional service every day. And we are happy. So Krishna consciousness is a working progress. You're cleaning, you're getting happy. Krishna's testing you, Maya's testing you. But you just keep at it. There was one lecture by Ambarish Puru, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and he said, ISKCON's like a boat. We have many problems. We have many quarrels, many disagreements, agreements, whatever we may have. But it's a boat that is moving across the material world, over the ocean. You just stay on it. Simple. You just stay on it. No matter the hardships, no matter what your authorities are saying, no matter what the rest of the world is saying, you just stay on that boat and you'll get across. So I like to think about it like that sometimes when I'm having a rough day or something's not inspiring me. Just know that ISKCON's a boat that Srila Prabhupada has made that is going across, and you just stay in it and you'll get over it. And once you're on the other side, then it'll be okay. Thank you very much. If someone has any questions or comments, I can try. Just try to give some answer. So if someone doesn't have questions either, they agree to everything, or they didn't understand anything. I mean, we can do kirtan. If I think classes, I don't know what time class is supposed to end, but if no one has any questions, we can just jump straight into it and do a 15-minute kirtan. Or if we have questions, then we can go on. Yes.
What keep you inspired to stay in Krishna consciousness?
All right, here it says, dear lecturer, please repeat the questions for our online audience. Thank you. So Mataji asked the question, what keeps you inspired in Krishna consciousness? And I think in my life, different stages had different inspirations. It wasn't something always that kept me. It was just different experiences that gave me joy, that gave me, I'll tell you one time, I was getting tulsi every day. No matter like, because in Gurukul we have like different sitting areas and they're offering all it goes to one place. But no matter where I sat, I'd get tulsi every day. It went for like 1 month. Like 1 month, I couldn't believe it. And I started boasting about it. You know, I was like, I get tulsi every day, no matter what. And I was still getting the boy, like, then I went to my teacher and I said, I'm getting tulsi every day no matter what. And he started laughing. He's like, oh, because you said that you won't get it. But I still kept getting. And then there was one day I didn't get tulsi. And it was already like late at night, 7 o'clock. Well, that, in our school it's late at night. And I was like, oh no, like, Krishna doesn't like me anymore. Let's, my bhaktis run out. Just, I was thinking like that, like this random devotee, not random devotee, but like, he's not part of the school or anything. He was just there, and he's distributing tulsi to everyone. We never have someone that's late at night that's not from the school. It's like, you're not allowed to come into the school past that time. But he was there, and then I walked by, and he gives me tulsi, I guess. So it's just, for me, it's not big changes that keep me inspired. It's always the little things that I see. Just like day before yesterday, we went on Harinam. That was my first Harinam here. And I was usually like, Harinam means like a lot of people, you know, but this was just like five of us. And everyone's kind of like just looking at us like strangers, weirdos, whatever. I don't know what they're thinking. And I was walking back. I was like, nothing like special happened, you know, it's just a Harinam. But then it was like, this group of youths were just there in the park, and they were so excited to see us. And I was like, yeah, like we're jumping. And I was just like, Krishna's always there. You just don't see it. That's all. We're so covered by what we need to get done for ourselves that we don't see that Krishna is helping us get there every day, helping us get through it. And so it's always been the little things, you know, simple things, you know, get like a hug from Chandramali Swami. You know, it's just, for me, it's that, just that connection, and just, if you allow Krishna, he will really, show himself in different ways, and you have to be ready, willing to accept that that's Krishna. You know, it's like some people say, I want to see God, and then you're like, even if God came in front of you, you wouldn't accept it. It's just like Krishna was here on the planet. Not everyone was, oh, Krishna, yeah. People wanted to kill him, you know? So it's like, it's not Krishna doesn't reveal himself to you just because you want to, because something. He reveals himself to you when he wants to. So, if Krishna wants, he will give you that, you know? Like, and it's just, that's the little things, that's what it is. Like I said, like, eating Mahaprasad for the first time for me, it wasn't like, wow. It's like, or, you know, seeing the deities for the first time wasn't wow. Nothing was wow. So it's always the little things I find that keep me kind of inspired, to keep me going. And then I always like to hear how other devotees join the movement and why they join the movement. And then it puts me into like a perspective that if they've already done that and they've joined this, I don't need to do that for myself. You know, they've already done that. My parents have already done their share bit of Maya, and now they're devotees. So it's like, there must be something here. You know, there must be something here why these people are letting go of what they've had and are following this. So there must be something here. I just have to kind of search. And that's what it's been, just trying to search for Krishna. And that's what we're trying to do as devotees, trying different ways to be more Krishna conscious. And Krishna gives us little mercy here and there. And we just have to acknowledge that Krishna's is trying his best to make us come back to him. He can't force you. He can't force you to love him. You can't force anyone to love you. So Krishna is trying his own way. And for every one of us, it's different. It's always different because we're all individuals. And we all have our different relationship with Krishna. So you'll always have a different approach to you. And it's just up to you to make that connection with him. And then slowly, just stay on the boat and you'll get through. I think that's what keeps me inspired. Sometimes you're not inspired, you know. Sometimes I see friends that were close friends, that were good devotees, they're gone somewhere that, you know, try to bring them back. They don't want to, you know. And so, but you know, you have faith. They've already experienced a little bit of Krishna consciousness. It's stuck with them. and they will get back eventually. Everything takes time. And so you just feel, be compassionate and always be loving, because really the point of everything is relationship, because we're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna. And so with devotees amongst each other, what it's called sadhu sangha. What's the point of sadhu sangha? Association. Association means relationship. There's no relationship, there's no association. And so for everyone, like my friends at least that are not so willing, you just keep a relationship. Try not to take it, maybe. Just try to give something. Be nice. And through that, just associate. Like, association is not that you have to tell them something. It's not how association works. It's not like, oh, you gave me a special instruction and that's association. No, association is just, when you're having that connection with someone, you automatically get purified. It's not something you have to do. It's just, I don't know if you felt it, just being with someone, you all of a sudden feel like, whew, like you're floating. You know, if you're with some, your Guru Maharaj, or you're with some senior devotee, and you're just with them, you feel that change, and that's association. You trying to take association, so you just try to give your association. I try to give my association. Be nice, be kind, be compassionate, and they'll come back eventually. And that's what I have to say for that. Thank you. Any other question? Maybe I should do like a countdown. I don't know. I'm not a very good speaker. But everyone has to work according to Karma Yoga. So I'm not attached to the result. I am attached. I hope I did okay. I hope you've all learned something. I don't know. Just trying to share a little bit of what I know and what I've seen, what I've experienced. It doesn't come very close to what you have all gone through. But it's something. And please give your blessings so I may. So really, it's the blessings of the devotees that keeps your Krishna consciousness alive. And blessings of a devotee is not when they touch your head. Okay? I mean, that is a physical form of blessing. But the blessing comes when you make someone happy. Then that happiness from what you have given to them is actually the blessing. And that is what we want. So just remember that if you want blessings, you have to endeavor for it. It doesn't up. Guru Maharaj, bless me. Yeah, it's a form, but if you're not working to make him happy, if you're not working to receive that blessing, then it's just a hand gesture to you. But if you are, Krishna consciousness is real. That's what it is. If you're following it, you'll feel it. If you're not following it, you'll feel it as well. You know? So, please give your blessings. I don't know if I've made you happy, but I hope you are merciful and without conditions, shower me some blessings. Jai, Bhagavad Gita ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Janita Gaur Pramanandi.